Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the Papaya Podcast. I'm your hostess, trying her mostest, Sarah Nicole, and each week I'm going to be dishing out some sweetness mixed in with some seeds of wisdom or something like that. So get ready to get inspired, get candid, get real, because we are all in this digital space together. Today we're having a podcast episode about something that I wish I had going back 6 years ago, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, all around being a step-parent. Now, obviously, I am not a step-parent, but I am married to one. And also, I co-parent with my ex, and it is one of those things that we're all just trying to be respectful and good and nice, and it can be really weird and isolating to not really know where everybody stands, and because it's so outside of that cookie-cutter, picture-perfect family that maybe we all grew up thinking would always be our reality. And for many of us, it's not. And that's where a step parent comes in. So I'm very excited to welcome on Jamie. Jamie is somebody who has been talking about the step parent experience for a long time. And we have had conversation before. I met her at a mom event, I want to say going back 5 years ago or so. And she's somebody that I just think is having the conversations that not a lot of people are openly having. She's a stepmom herself, and we're going to welcome her to the show and have all of the questions, have all of the conversation, and hopefully all come away learning some things, whether you are a step parent, partnered to a step parent, know a step parent, interacting with the world, then, I mean, I think we all know a step parent in our lives, and maybe it's a great time to just sit and talk with one and learn a little bit more about their experience away from the villain of the stepmom that we all kind of grew up seeing in the Disney movies. All right. Welcome, Jamie. Jamie Scrimger, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for allowing yourself to be one of the few people that are willing to have the conversation about step parenting. And I said in the intro, you know, so many of us grow up with step parents are the evil ones, right? And a lot of people maybe have bad experiences with step parents, but they are so often painted the villain. And you decided to share your side as a stepmom and what it was like to be a stepmom. So share with us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and what sort of brought you to sort of tapping into this very unseen, unheard, well, not unseen, it's very common, but unheard voice of step parenting.
Yeah. Oh, that's always the hard question, right? It's like, okay, give us your elevator pitch. So
yeah,
you know, basically this all started, I was 26 years old. And accidentally fell in love with a recently separated dad with three kids. And I was like all in, so in love. And I had this background in psychology. I was working in child protection. And I worked with families who were dealing with co-parenting, all this stuff. So I was like, okay, I got this. Like, I do this for work. I got this in the bag. And while I didn't, because being the expert on the outside and living it in real life was just so different. And so basically I found myself just really overwhelmed. It was like a night on the bathroom floor, bawling my eyes out, loved my husband, loved the kids, but just the co-parenting, kind of dealing with the back and forth, not feeling like you have control of your life, and just the stigma around it was so, so much. And so I went to the internet, looked for support, and there was nothing. There's a lot of stepmoms like just venting, and there was negativity. There was a lot of ex-wife bashing, and it was just a very negative space, or there was no support.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, that's not helpful. This is not going to help me. So I can either leave, which I did think about, or I can like figure out a way to make this work. So, you know, I ended up just doing a lot of personal growth, personal development, work on my relationship with my partner, just diving into like what's working and what's not in this space. And, you know, it helped that I was a child of divorce. My dad had some real special girlfriends growing. Like he never got married, but I had some stepmom figures in my life and they made a lot of mistakes too. So I was like, okay, this is what not to do. And, you know, after I really kind of transformed how I was showing up and how I was feeling, I just kind of started a blog and never thought anyone was going to read it. People did. Google is a beautiful thing. And I was getting all of these stepmoms from all over the world. Like, I remember the first time I got an email from someone from Australia being like, oh my gosh, you're saying what I'm feeling. I've never felt so seen. No one in my life understands, you know, because stepmoms get the whole, well, you knew what you were signing up for. Well, I don't know about you, but like as a mom, I didn't know what I was signing up for. Like I had an idea, but I didn't know how it would feel. And I certainly didn't know what it would be like to co-parent and navigate with an ex. Like no one knows what they're signing up for in life ever. So it's not helpful. But so it's just evolved since there. Since then I have a membership where stepmoms can feel safe off social media, getting solution-focused support, all about just thriving amongst the extra stress, because co-parenting is no joke. Like it can be really complicated even when it's really good. And yeah, it's just evolved from there and it's been really exciting. It's been amazing. We have stepmoms from over 30 countries around the world in the membership, which is wild. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's the best. And I love that I've been able to connect with women and just be real about how it feels, but then also be positive, right? Because at the end of the day, you can't control the ex. You can't control your stepkids. You can't control all of these things in your life. You can control how you react and how you respond. And yeah, so there's my story. But yeah, I have three stepkids now. Well, Darren and I have been together since it was 11, 12 years now. So my stepdaughter's 21, my stepson's 19, and my other stepson's 17. And then we have a daughter together and she's going to be 10, which is insane.
It's so amazing though, too, because we have such similar stories, but opposite, right? Like it's almost like you're walking Shane's path, which is why I love that I get to have the conversation with you, because there's so many times, there's very few moments that I was like, oh, I really felt it for him. I remember when we were dating and the first time, thankfully the only time I think this happened, so one of the kids had a meltdown in public, broke something in a store by accident. It was an embarrassing moment. And I looked at him like, are you in or are you out? You know, like one of these, like, because he was mortified. And like, there's something about that like I had been introduced to when they were 6 months old and screaming like pterodactyls in the middle of a grocery store. I had become accustomed to it. And I was watching him experience it for the first time. And I remember the second incident was when we were dating and we were out for dinner and Shane was, you know, so not knowing where his role was, but just like, I'm here. Like, I'm just here. I'm here to support, here to help. And we were all out for a family dinner. And he sort of one of the kids said something rude. They were little. One of them said something rude. And he was like, oh, like, don't do that. I don't even remember what the situation was. I remember they looked at him and said, you're not my dad. And he just shut down. And he was like, where do I fit? Like, where do I go? Like, I just want to be here and I want to help. But like, I also, do I have the same role as a parent? As on my side, I had a lot of, I didn't realize it at the time, something we really had to talk about, was control. And not because I was trying to control him, but because I felt like they were my responsibility and I would do anything to protect him from feeling burdened. And I think that that's something that I really had to work through. And I've heard so many people before when they enter into dating, it's like, I don't want to feel like a burden. And my husband's really had to work with me to be like, you were my Costco bundle. You were not a burden. Like, you all were not burdens. I lucked out. But the language around him being a step parent, which I wonder if this is the same for you, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. So many people would say, you are so great. You're such a good man for stepping up. And you are so amazing for, you know, being such an incredible, you know, step parent, a bonus dad, a chosen father figure. Like, you didn't have to do that and you did. And I agreed with those sentiments, but at the same time, it kind of reminded me, like, are we a lot? Are we too much for one person to take on? I don't know that I've heard very often that women are said to be stepping up to the plate or that they're taking it all on. There's a very different and I think media-driven narrative around the stepmom. What were some of the things that you experienced as a new stepmom that really made you go, okay, these are the things that I was not prepared for, that are all external from the realities of being a parent and being a new parent with children that are a little bit older, all of those things, like the validating yourself in that space. But beyond that, society, people, friends, family, what were some of those experiences that you had?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there was just a lot of situations where you'd feel good enough until you're not. Right. And I talk about this all the time. You know, the stepdads are glorified. They've taken on this woman and her kids and, you know, how great, admirable. And then you have a stepmom and she's either overstepping or she's not stepping up enough and she doesn't want the kids around, or she's trying to take over. She's not respecting the mom enough. Like, so many stepmoms kind of feel like, okay, like, what do you
know your place?
What do you want me to know my place? But then when I do what someone says and I'm doing it wrong and vice versa. So, you know, I think for me, it was really feeling like you're good enough for the running around and the pickup and the drop off and the homework and all of that stuff. And then when there would be those moments, say at graduation or grad dress shopping and things like that. And it's like, no, you got to back up and you got to know your place. And 100% as a mom, I can totally see that. Right. But then from the stepmom's perspective, it's like, oh, okay. Like, so I'm good enough for all of that. But then when these glory moments of parenting come in, I need to back up and I need to know my place. And so I never thought of it like that. Yeah. So we're in on the trenches, right? And we're often dealing with a lot of the disrespect too, right? Going back to what Shane went through. It's like, well, I don't have to listen to you. You're not my mom. Well, society gives stepmoms this message. You need to love your stepkids like they're your own, which is a huge ask. That's a big ask, right? To just tell someone they have to just feel a certain way. And a lot of stepmoms struggle with that because they're like, I don't really feel like that. Because at the same time, a lot of society is telling stepkids, well, you don't have to listen to her. She's not your mom. So society's normalized the disrespect from stepkids. But then stepmoms are supposed to show up in a certain way. And hey, I have a great relationship with my stepkids most of the time, right? Like, for the most part, we have, you know, got a good thing going, but it's just a lot of pressure to put on a woman, right? And no one says, hey, like, how you doing? Like, this is hard. But it's because you're supposed to know what you signed up for.
Yeah. I'm obviously on the person who is the mom. What is something that you wish moms who are co-parenting with a stepmom knew, or that you wish that they had done? I always wonder about this. Like, do you acknowledge them on Mother's Day? Do you reach out and say thank you? Where is the line? Like, do you let them do their own thing? Like, where, I would love for, you know, somebody with some experience in that. What do you wish, or what have you heard from your community? Because I don't want you to have to feel like you have to pull from like specific individual examples for yourself, but obviously you have a lot of conversations with people too. What is something that is very commonly, I wish this happened with their mom, that I got to experience with her? Because I think that there is a lot of these really beautiful stories of these like idyllic newly blended families where like they all sit together at a Christmas dinner table and they're like, we went through a horrible divorce, but look at us now. And like, I don't have that. I co-parent really greatly, but we're not having Christmas dinner together.
I don't want to have Christmas dinner together.
We have separate stuff going on. And I think that's a beautiful storyline if that's what works for you. But there's also reality of like, okay, what about the rest of us? Like where do you put things? So yeah, I'm going to let you speak and just share some of the things you wish that moms knew about stepmoms or what you wish you could experience with a mom, what many stepmoms do.
Yeah. Well, that's hard. Looking back, I think it's important for every stepmom and every mom just to have a little empathy for the other person. Right. Yeah. And a lot of stepmoms are like, the ex doesn't want anything to do with me. The ex isn't acknowledging the role that I play, or she's trying to shut me out. And I don't think that's cool. I think, you know, the more the merrier, all the things. However, there is so much grief and hurt and healing that needs to happen at the end of a marriage. So I know I can look back and I remember like my husband's ex left him and she wanted this and all of these things. And then when things started to get really tricky with her, I'd be like, well, what did she expect? What did she expect? He's going to move on. He's going to have a new relationship. There's going to be new kids or new person in her kids' lives. And I wish for me, I could go back and just have a little bit more empathy onto how hard that would be just to see another woman having like really nice weekends with your kids and living the life that you thought you would have, like, even though that's not what you wanted and what was going to work for you at that time, there's still that grieving period. So that didn't really answer your question, but I thought that was important. But I think again, on the flip side,
it very much does.
I would love a mom to look at the stepmom and be like, whoa, you know, she's coming through partway through the story and she feels like an outsider in her own home. She's trying to figure out what her role is. Like society is giving all these mixed messages just to be like, hey, I see what you're doing for my kids and I appreciate you. I might not agree with you all the time, or I might not agree with my ex and this might be hard, but like, thanks for getting him shoes or thanks for doing pickup and drop off. Like I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Instead of the competition, right? Like there's such a pissing match sometimes. And society gives us that narrative that kind of keeps that going. And I think if the women could, this is like women in general in all areas, if we could just be a little more empathetic towards each other and support each other, even when we don't agree, I think maybe you would be having Christmas together.
True. You know, I remember when I first split up with my ex and I had just moved into my parents' house. So my mom just wanted me to really, I mean, she knew that I knew my decision and I was firm in it, but she wanted me to reflect on the realities of what I was about to go through. And she said, how will you feel when you see him move on and there's another person coming into the picture for the kids? Have you thought about that? And I remember thinking, I can't wait for the help because I was so drowning in everything. And I sort of decided that day, and I'm so glad she asked that question because I think I'm so glad I didn't have to think about it when it started to happen, but instead I got to think about it way beforehand when I was so desperate for everything to like be peaceful. And I just said, you know, anybody who comes into my children's lives and decides to love on them and care for them is good with me. Like that is just, you don't have to have a relationship with me. You don't have to like me. If you are, you know, helping with laundry, making meals, being there for them, picking them up, like there's going to be times that I'm not. I want to make sure that they are as approved by me as possible because I don't know, and I think like as that just sort of solidified as time went on and as I started dating and I had this person that was now like a seemingly outsider and I watched him try and find that role and all I wanted was for him to feel seen and heard, respected, like that he was valued. It's sometimes weird that we like look at our family. My daughter said this to me the other day. She's such a little shit sometimes. And she was like, I cannot believe you have two baby daddies. Do you ever think about that? And she's like, I can't believe I have a half sister. Like that is so wild. And I was like, I've never thought of that. We're just family. And then I co-parent, but it's like not, I think that's what a lot of people would maybe think is like, you will always feel like you're some sort of puzzle piece jumbled thing. But like when you're in it, you just feel like family. And then you just have realities of your family that is co-parenting and stuff as well. But I guess what I was like, when coming through that, I really wanted the perspective of, it's going to be weird. Like there's going to be times that like, I'm going to be in disagreement with something, but like, I don't ever want to be the person that is like, they feel like I'm some sort of against them, especially when they're doing for my children. However, I have never, ever, and I'm so glad you brought up, considered the fact that when they go through things like dress shopping or graduations and stuff, to make sure that it is open and included, so that, because if they are doing the dinners and doing the laundry and doing the pickups and stuff, like they do deserve the rewards too, right? They do mm-hmm. deserve to be there. They're part of the collective in raising these children and getting them to the graduation lines. Like that's just fact. So
yeah,
but something I've never considered, which again is why there's such a gap in some of these conversations and such a gap in our stuff. But I want to ask you sort of about the kids for a second. Because I know for me, obviously, whenever your kids have two different homes, they come home with their stories, right? They come home with different experiences, and it can be, we sort of just decided way back, like, we're not going to say anything negative. They can say whatever they want, but we will not participate in negativity. But I also won't participate in shutting them down on anything that they feel they need to say. And I will assume that that will also happen on the other. I'm sure. I mean, we know our kids are going to disagree. My mom said that I couldn't do that. I'm sure they're going and telling their dad, mom said that I couldn't do this. Cool. You know what I hear back from them? Dad agrees with you. And I'm like, hey, we're still on team yeah. parent, right? But how have you seen a lot of, or like would really encourage a lot of step parents and parents that are sort of navigating co-parenting, dealing with sort of when the kids come home and they have a lot of these stories to tell? And how do you sort of walk that line delicately so that you're not participating in, I don't know, the slander and the narrative that can sometimes, like you said, it's very deeply conditioned in these kids' brains as well, right?
Totally. And, you know, I think it's really, you have to be very careful with that too, because there's a lot of kids who, especially in higher conflict situations, who know that mom and dad don't get along, or mom doesn't like dad's new girlfriend, or mom doesn't like stepmom. And so they're seeking love and approval by going and bashing the other parent to them. So you'll hear stepmom say, we had a great weekend with my stepkids. Like it was great. Everything was amazing. And then they went back to their moms and said all of these terrible things about how they hated being here. And like all of the, so there you have, it's a very slippery slope, right? Like you don't want them to feel like that's a way to connect with you.
Right.
Oh, right. That's so smart. Over that yeah. kind of, mutual shared frustration or whatever. So you have to be very careful with that. I remember one time my stepson came home and he was going off about his mom, and my stepkids don't really do that very often. We've never really participated. It's very separate. And I said, look, she's your mom, and you're not going to agree with everything that she says. And you're not going to agree with everything we say over here. And I know you don't agree with everything we say over here, but you got to respect her, because yeah. in life, you're going to have a boss you don't agree with. You're going to have a coworker you don't agree with, but you still have to find a way to live with them or work with them and whatever. So we were just like here to have the conversation. Okay. But at the end of the day, it's her house. It's her rules. She gets to decide. Just like here, we don't, because we got into it with one of, with my stepson actually. And we made a mistake. We were actually talking about this a while ago. The pandemic came and we had, you know, we're all at home. Everyone's working from home. Kids are doing things. And he just wanted to lie in bed, and it was just kind of a tough time for everyone. And so we were laying down the law here, and it got like intense, right? He was getting in trouble. He got intense and he left, and his mom picked him up and let him stay there for a while. So he was able to hide out there after disrespecting here and not having the consequences of behaviors. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So then a few months later, shit goes down over there as it always does. And where does he come? He comes back. So obviously welcome with open arms. Now you have a kid who is going to play both sides and knows that if they want to run away from consequences, they can go to the other home. And so I think it's really important for all, as much as it's easy for us to be like, oh, our house is a better house. Like they like, you know, we're all human being. We kind of like, we like yeah, that, right?
Fair,
let's be very fair. Honest. If you feel like you're the favorite house or the fun house, or they come to you for something over the other parent, there's a little bit of, you know, there. You can't let that impact how you parent, because then you're going to teach these kids, you're not going to teach these kids anything actually. And then they're going to grow up into adults who are running from consequences and have not learned any lessons. Right. So you got to keep that stuff out. So hard. But
yeah. But I love that you brought up the fun parent thing, 'cause I think that is such a big one. I've heard a lot. I mean, I still have single moms reach out to me because they know I went through a season of it, and they're like, how do you deal when your ex buys them big vacations and buys them big things and you don't have the money to do any of that and you can't do any of that? And it's, I mean, there's a lot of, one side has the fun parent, one maybe has more opportunity, one maybe, and it can be easy to forget that, like, am I contributing to that? Is that something that like I've instilled? And so I would love for you to sort of talk on like how to deal with one house sort of being the AKA fun house, because I want to tell this one story to preface it, because I have a friend who grew up with basically no rules. And that to me would sound like the fun house. And I grew up with a lot of rules. I mean, my parents were, my mom was ran a daycare at home. Our lives were scheduled. My weeks were themed. It was honestly a great childhood. It was, but I was very much like, man, why can't I just like go and stay out and like do all this stuff? Like all my friends get to like hang out at the railroad tracks. And I'm just like, my mom's too worried about me all the time. I always got to come home. And her and I met later in life. We met as adults. And she said, do you know that when I was a kid, I used to purposely hang out with the kids with strict parents because it felt really good to be cared about. Somebody actually cared that I came home when I was staying at one of my friend's houses. She goes, my mom was, everyone thought was so cool and so fun, but in reality wasn't actually like, I never felt like she cared. And that was a perspective that I thought was really interesting. And what I see a lot, or what I'm hearing a lot, is people having, you know, trying to be the parent and trying to understand their role of like, hey, it's my job to keep you safe. It's my job to check up on you. It's my job to teach you how to have emotional regulation in this world. It's my job to teach you what consequences are. It's really hard when there's a fun parent that is on the other side of it, sort of what feels like canceling out all of your work. And also, you don't truly have that big a say in that. Talk to me about navigating that sort of like conflict for ourselves, and like what often seems to kids like the fun house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sitting here trying to think, I'm like, are we the fun house? Or are we not the fun house?
I think I know, kind of thinking about that, me too. It was like, which one are we? I don't know.
Yeah. I think we do a lot of the trips and a lot of the things and the activities, mm-hmm. and are constantly like planning stuff. But I do know, like, over at their mom's house, she's a single mom. She has, you know, a relationship that's out of town. Like, and their teenagers, they definitely have far more gatherings at her house than they would be allowed to here. I grew up so my family was divorced. My parents were divorced. My dad was the fun parent and my mom was not the fun parent and was very strict and couldn't do, she wasn't very strict. She was just very normal in comparison to him.
Yeah.
And fair. I think you got to play the long game. Right. And remember, like, at the end of the day, kids are going to grow up and they're going to look back on their life from an adult perspective and they love you, right? Like, they love their mom. It doesn't mean they're gonna be like, mom didn't let me go to that party at the railroad tracks. Like, yeah, I'm not going to have a relationship with her. Right. So our goal, like, our job's not to be our kids' friends. And it can be really hard when they can do whatever they want at the other home, especially when they become teenagers and they're like, okay, well, I'm going to stay at dad's more. I'm going to stay at mom's more because your rules suck, right? This is stupid. But I think long-term, it will all work itself out. So it doesn't help in the meantime, but kids don't really care about the trips and all the things as much as I think us as parents think that they do, right?
I think sometimes it's like our way of trying to not buy. Like, I remember the first Christmas I could afford big presents and I probably overdid it. I was overcompensating, right? And they didn't have, my son to this day, I remember the biggest reaction he ever had was to a jar of canned wieners. Like, he thought that was the greatest thing he ever got for Christmas. And here I was, like, putting myself in a position of, like, being at the line of my finances because I wanted to impress them. And I think in a way, maybe wanted to prove to myself that I could do it. And now I've scaled back from that. I'm like, no, I'm not in, I don't need to prove my love in this way. And I have a cool job. Sometimes we get really cool opportunities. And I'm so grateful that I get to share those with my children, but they're not going to be forever. And I also need to be very aware of, like, who am I outside of that? Like, if I just have, if cool stuff comes to our house and you get free lipstick every once in a while, awesome. That's not me parenting. That's not preparing you for life. That's not preparing you for the world. I think a lot of parents, regardless of co-parenting or not, need to hear that. I remember Michelle Money, she's engaged now to Mike Weir, but she was one of my favorite people that came out of Bachelor Nation, and I always followed her, and she was so funny, and she was this really cool single mom. And then her daughter fell off a skateboard and hit her head, and her neighbor found her, and she was in a coma, and nobody knew if she was going to make it out, let alone if she did, who she would be, what it was going to look like. And I remember her going on to her Instagram, and she just warned everybody, because she said, I tried to be a friend, you know, as a single mom, I just wanted to be her friend. And I don't even remember what she said, but she was like, don't do it. Tell them to wear the helmet, be the bad guy, do it, whatever you need to be the parent. And it changed my life because I was doing that. I was doing a little bit of like, oh, it's fine. Just go ahead. As long as, like, you're not mad at me, then we're okay. And that moment changed my life because it was like, this isn't about if you like me every second of the day. This is, are you alive? Are you safe? Are you kind? Are you good? Are you prepared for the world? That's my job. The everything else, when we get along and everything's good and lovely and amazing, awesome. But my end game here is to make sure that you're prepared for the world. And sometimes that's going to mean I need you to put on your damn helmet. I don't care if it looks stupid. I don't care what it looks like. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that story online because it really woke me up to, like, very extreme consequence of being a fun parent, but also just sometimes we really want our kids to just approve us and think that we're great and awesome. Do you know, my mom was so, like, I felt she was so strict growing up, and now I'm just like, God, she probably saved me from so much. She was like, and she was always there, you know, like, there's so much that I was like, oh, like, I never have, like, I never had a house alone. I never, like, did this. My parents were there. Guess what? When I went through hell, my parents were there. That was awesome. Like, and I've also gotten to watch them go and see the world and do all these things outside of us now. And that is equally as beautiful. But it's not an opportunity that everybody has. Not everybody has. I mean, we watch single moms work multiple jobs and try and be parents on top of that. It's not always equal playing fields when we're talking about the parenting game. It is so complex. It is so difficult. And yeah, it can be a lot.
And they probably don't want to spend half of their time that they have with their kids punishing them. Darren and I had conversations all the time when I was like, "That's a there needs to be a consequence here." I said, "This is out of control." It's like, well, he's going to his mom's tomorrow. Okay. So life still happens. What's going to happen when it gets back? Oh, well, right. And then he would just, like, let it go. And so I'm like making like a grumpy impersonation of my husband. But, you know, for me as an outsider, because I didn't have that emotional connection, right, in that same way, like, I love my stepkids. You know, my stepson's coming back today. He's with his mom every other week. And he was 5 when I came. Like, he's my baby. Like, I just, right. I just, it feels at home, just like a home's full when he's there. And, but my husband has a different connection and, you know, feelings towards him just because he's his biological child that he was with him since birth. Right. So for me, there's times when I'm going to come in and say, there needs to be a consequence here. And my husband struggles because he feels bad, or he has a divorce guilt, or he only sees him half the time and that kind of thing. And so I think we really, as co-parents, need to say, okay, am I letting my own stuff that I'm dealing with get in the way of raising these kids? Mm-hmm. Right. Because again,
I feel it all the time.
I get it. You feel bad. You don't want to punish them. And I'm sure I would be the exact same with Reese. Like, I always think about that. How would I respond if Darren and I were split and this was Reese?
It's a lot of times like they have double, I feel a lot of guilt and worry for the kids. They have two different bedrooms to take care of. They have two different sets of laundry to take care of. They have two different lives that they're coming home to. And so when I see that there is laundry all over the floor that definitely shouldn't have been there and should be picked up and done, a lot of times I'm like, I'll just do it because I don't want them to come home and then be like the first thing that happens is like, hey, we're not doing any of this or you're not doing any of that until all of this is done. I don't want them to come home and their only experience with me is like telling them what to do. There was a lot of like, and I'll be honest, like that was very much, I still do it. I'm trying to think of an example, but I don't really have one. But I mean, a few years ago, that was definitely it. I was just picking up after them, doing all the things, like trying to like, almost even like hiding it from Shane. Like, look, they're totally clean kits. They cleaned up everything all night. And like, literally it's me waking up just like 5 minutes earlier and just cleaning it all up because I don't want their experience when they're here is to be like feeling like they have a lot more responsibility when I know they already have to go home and like do that again. And then my kids said something to me one day and it really changed it. They were like, I was cleaning up everything one night and they were like, did you know that we do all the dishes at dad's house? Did you know that we're the ones that do? And I was like, what? And I was like, you can and you do hold responsibility, but I'm just not instilling it in you. And now as they've gotten older, it has been, I mean, with age comes so much. I love a teenager, but they also are like, I need my jersey for things. I need my clothes washed for school. I need my uniform for work. They start doing that stuff themselves. They start not wanting to have a messy bedroom. But I had to stop doing it. I had to take a step back and stop trying to fix everything for them because I had the guilt of the dual homes. And I still do.
I still do everything.
I think that's a lot. Yeah.
There's a lot. Yeah. Because as a stepmom, I'm like, I just don't want, I've realized how much I was just walking on eggshells. Trying to keep everyone happy. We have three of my stepkids. One of them I have a little bit trickier of a relationship with. And I've realized I've spent the last couple of years as like in the teenage years, because God, there's nothing worse than a moody teenager in the home, right? Like it just trickles the energy. Just, it was almost like I was just trying to avoid any disappointment or anything that could trigger him or anything that I would have to tell him to do to avoid an outburst. So I was just doing everything till my stepdaughter said to me, she's like, you know, they do that at mom's, they clean up at mom's. They can, the reason why he's here all the time is because he doesn't have to do anything. And I was like, right. So I think it goes both sides too, but I got to tell you a strategy for the kids. This is the best thing.
Okay.
So my stepson, I had asked him for like 2 weeks to tackle his room. And I said, you know, I've been asking you for 2 weeks to clean up your room. I said, I think I'm being pretty nice, but I said, but at what point would you say it'd be appropriate for me to lose my shit?
Yeah.
And I said, I probably asked 20 times, right? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, so like, what do you think? He said, well, if I don't do it by tomorrow, I think you can lose your shit. I said, well, I'm really gonna.
This is it.
And he goes, yeah. No, if I don't do it by tomorrow at 3, then I think that would be appropriate response. I said, okay, deal. And he did it. It's done.
That's actually amazing.
It was like putting it back on them.
You know, but truly, like that's just a parenting skill too. Like I remember one time my son misbehaved on the bus and like the bus driver told us. And so we had this conversation at home and I said, he goes, give me your consequence. And this is the first time he's like ever been in trouble ever. He was little. And I was like, so sad because he was my baby. And I was like, I can't believe you did anything. And I said, well, what do you think your consequence should be? And he gave himself the biggest, he like gave himself like a mini laundry list of things that he would do that was going to be how he, you know, that was his consequence. And I was like, I would have done like one of those little things on the list. And you just gave yourself like a whole whack. But it's true. Like when you put it back on them and like that little bit of perspective, like that can really, that's a game changer. I love that. That's a really great tip. Cause I think teenagers in general are hard when you're co-parenting. That's another layer, right? Like they have 4 parents, in some cases 3, some 2. They have lots of opinions and options. And like, ultimately, like we are still at the helm of having to teach them to be adults. But I saw something on your Instagram and I want to ask you about it because I actually didn't read the caption on purpose because I wanted to ask you here. You don't like the term bonus parent. Talk to me about that.
Mm, it's not that I don't like the term bonus parent.
Okay.
I think it's great. If you say bonus mom, bonus dad, if you say all of that, awesome. I think that's super cute for you guys. And that's how you feel and amazing. What I was saying is that I will never use that in my content. And because, you know, I coach a lot of stepmoms who are struggling, who are trying to repair relationships. And a lot of stepmoms are really not feeling like this is so much of a bonus right now. Right? Maybe they're in a high conflict relationship. Maybe their stepkids are treating them like crap. Maybe they're not on the same page as their partner when it comes to rules and discipline and all of the things, or they're feeling good enough until they're not. So, you know, these viral posts of the matching jerseys and the Christmases and all the things, it's amazing. Again, if that's your story, but then you have a section of women who really had high hopes for their step family and that they were going to blend and that it was going to feel in a certain way. And then it doesn't happen, or they don't feel the way that they thought they're supposed to feel. So maybe they don't love their stepkids like their own. Maybe they get anxiety every time their stepkids come in the door. And I felt that. I felt the walking on eggshells. It is a real, when your home is supposed to be a safe place, it's a really not nice place to be. So I don't use the word bonus because I don't want to add to the guilt or the unrealistic or unattainable standards that stepmoms feel like they're trying to meet. So I don't think there's anything wrong with the words stepmom, stepkid, all of that. I think society has put a lot of, you know, negative connotation around it all, but like, let's start changing that conversation. But to say bonus, and a lot of stepmoms don't feel like it's a bonus right now, is just kind of like another punch in the gut, right? But again, I'm just not going to use it in my content because I'm here to support stepmoms and trying to improve things and thrive and all the things. But if that's what you do, cool, amazing, super cute. Never going to use it.
Yeah, total. I think that makes so much sense. And I love that explanation because there has to be, like you said earlier, like empathy, I think, is like the core thing here. Parenting is hard. Co-parenting is hard. Being a step parent is, I mean, a different level of hard.
Being a step kid is hard. Right? They didn't ask for any of this.
Exactly, right? Like that there's a lot of, just the same way as like you weren't there when the kids were born and had that natural instinctual connection perhaps with them, nor did they. So it's a little bit of like you are forced into this relationship, not in like a big, angry, mean way, but like it is a bit of a, hey, like this is a relationship and yeah, like this is just introduced to you, right? One thing that was huge when I was dating that Shane had brought up was just how, and maybe you could speak to this just as somebody who walked this a little bit, but how much harder it is on kids when there is divorce. That's hard. Obviously it's hard. You two parents split, but in most cases, both parents are still in the child's life. Secondary relationships, a little bit different. Is it always going to be guaranteed that, you know, if dad and stepmom split up, are you still going to have a relationship with stepmom, especially when dad maybe continues to go, or like one girlfriend and then another one? I remember Shane was like, really, he's a bit of a researcher. And he was like, I have just read so much on the importance of, you know, or how impactful secondary relationship breakups can be on children. And so he was like, going into this, I've got to be very intentioned. And I also need to figure out, if we don't work out, what will my commitment be? What does that look like? And he ended up making a commitment to me that if we broke up, that he would still be in the kids' lives. Should they choose it? Should they want it? Should I be comfortable with it? That was his commitment. That was something that he chose to do. But when you were coming into the situation and dating your husband, did you feel that a little bit like all of this, like there's this, you know, you watched your dad have multiple girlfriends. Was there a little bit of like this and who I am and staying here and being a part of this is a different layer of responsibility? Because if we aren't together anymore, that's not as much a defined relationship as traditional mom and dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I definitely thought about it. My big thing was before I met the kids, I had to be comfortable that I was like, I'm in. And we moved very, very quickly. We were just so in love. And looking back, it was psychotic how quickly we moved. Yeah. But it's a good thing I didn't think about it too much because maybe I wouldn't be here right now. But
fair.
Yeah, I've thought about it. And I've said, you know, if we break up, what happens to me and the kids? He's like, you're always going to have that relationship. I'm like, will I? Will they want one? Like, will we grow apart? And, you know, especially now that we have our daughter together, I think there would always be some sort of something there. But I think it's really cool that Shane thought about that. Right. Yeah, 'cause
we never really thought we'd have a child together. So we never thought that we'd have this like one core bonding thing. And as like somebody who went through it, did you ever find that was difficult when there was sort of like a step parent figure that came into your life and then was gone and there was a new one? Or do you really just...
You know, I was your stereotypical angry child of divorce. So I used to get rid of my dad's girlfriends for sport. You know, I was brutal. Oh my gosh. I was... brutal. They were not
great.
So
you have some empathy for your kids too.
Oh yeah. Like I have stuff. Like when kids will play the parents off each other, I'm like, I think that was a rite of passage. I'm not mad about it. Yeah. You know, yeah. Things like that. I'm pretty easy about stuff like that. There's a couple girlfriends that I would be sad when they would leave, but I remember being like, they would be like, oh, well, we're going to be moving in or we're going to do this. And my dad always had about a 2.5 year expiry date. And I was always like, okay, honey, you just wait. But I think really, and this is a whole other topic, but I had a lot of attachment issues from my childhood, my parents' divorce and always had a lot of walls up and coming into, and I always thought people would leave. So coming into this relationship and coming into this family, it's like, you think you're healed. Have you ever had situations like that? You think you've healed, you think you've done the work, God, yeah. And then you find yourself in this new situation and you're like, I am
It's called postpartum. Mess. I thought I was an expert in it and I was not.
Yeah. And so that's what it was like for me with my relationship and attachment issues coming in, being like, okay, they're going to leave. This is too good to be true. You know, I'm going to be without this. I have this family that I love now. They're going to leave me too because of just some stuff from my childhood. So that would be the big thing that kind of came up for me. But I think talking, you just got to be able to talk to your partner about it.
Yeah. And every situation is so different. One thing that I think in life in general, I have learned time and time again is that there's no one right way to do anything. There's so many right ways to do things. There's so many different families. There's so many different ways to make a family. There's so many different types of parents. There's so many different realities of home and there's no one right one. There isn't. But you know, as we sort of like wind down here, one thing I would love for you to sort of share is what you would say to somebody who is maybe dating somebody with kids. What is something that back then you wish you knew or had the support on going into all of this? Because you said like there really wasn't a lot. And I know you're such a great resource now, but would you say there's like one or two things that you really wish you had thought about or talked about or allowed yourself to feel and be serious about when it came to dating somebody with kids?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so many things, but I think the first thing I would say is you have to find a support in your life who understands stepfamily dynamics and who is a stepmom. So going to your cousins or your sisters or whatever who aren't in stepfamily dynamics, they have to be able to understand the stepfamily dynamic and you got to find your support group because you're often going to go to people who don't understand, then you're going to feel misunderstood and all of these things. So you got to find your people and there's only certain, you can only understand what it's like to be a stepmom if you're a stepmom or if you're in a co-parenting relationship. So find that support. And then the other thing is just the empathy towards the ex. It is so easy because you're feeling insecure, right? You're feeling like, for me, I was 26. People were like, is she crazy taking on? Does she know what she's doing here? And so I was just trying to be perfect. I was the perfect stepmom. I was doing all the things. I dropped everything for my husband and for the kids. And then Darren and I got in a big fight one day in the kitchen. And I've told the story so many times, but it happens to so many stepmoms. I said, I gave up everything for you guys. I gave up everything. I used to go to yoga. I used to, you know, hang out with my girlfriends. I used to go have wine nights. I used to go bookstores and I don't do any of that anymore. And he looked at me and said, no one asked you to stop doing that. But as women, we're natural caregivers and we come in and we think our value is wrapped up in all of this, right? So we go all in and do it. And then when you're the stepmom and you're not getting the glory because you're the stepmom, right? And you don't realize that actually parenting and step-parenting is a thankless job, even more step-parenting. So you're like, no one appreciates me. I've given up. No one's helping me. Well, no one's helping you because you were doing it all for everyone, right? So we kind of like go all in with these really good intentions, and then we kind of screw ourselves over. So you see the stepmoms do it, and then you see the stepmoms get resentful and burnt out. And it's a really hard place to crawl out of. So I would just recommend empathy. Don't judge the ex, because there's so many things that I used to judge my husband's ex for. I do even worse now. Right? Because you're just trying to like make yourself feel better because you're feeling insecure.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. That's such a good
I'm going to do a list point. Of all the things I've judged her for. And then like all of the things that how and I've then- done the same. Like she had photo. I remember opening a drawer and being like, oh my God, she has not done photo albums for her kids. She doesn't have baby books all put together. Like what? Like this is ridiculous. Like how would you not take the time to do that? Dude, I just did my first photo album. I don't have a wedding album. I don't have a baby album. I don't have any albums. Yeah. I just, for Christmas, got Darren a big old school one and printed out all the pictures and just shoved them in there, and they're not in order. And again, 12 years. So yes. Judgmental.
You know what though? It is, it does come down to our own insecurities and our own trying to find our place and our self-worth. We do this in every arena of womanhood, right? Like we would do things differently. We would do it better when we're on the, like, I love that. I love that. There's this one dad creator and he was like, I was such a good parent to all of these kids before I ever had them. And then he's like, just like the reality of like, you think you know, and then you find out. And it's a very humbling experience, but I actually love that you have sort of like created a lot of that empathy, because I really think that there's a lot of times we get really bubbled into how we're feeling and how threatened we feel. And we forget that we each have an individual role that is entirely separate yet all together and with one common goal. And we're not incompetent. Like, I just think women, especially, like, it's so easy for us to get together with girlfriends and want to shit talk who our ex is with now, or talk about this or like what they're doing. It is such a trap. It's way too easy. And it is not helping the kids.
You feel leave feeling gross.
You leave feeling gross and you're just like, shit, this part, like, I don't know. Like, I don't really even, I don't know that I've even thought about how everybody feels all the time at the other house. And like, if how I could potentially be making them feel, I think I'm just like, you know, leave it be. But I just, yeah, now like a lot of, I'm having a lot of reflection through this and the fact that like, I feel like I'm just like being cool and breezy and whatever. But the reality is I'm sure that we all have judgments about each other. And like, we're so much better if we're not like that. If we just lead with empathy and also our kids get to witness that, maybe they won't be so, I mean, we did this in high school when we had a boyfriend we broke up with and then they had a new girlfriend. That new girlfriend did shit all to us and we would shit talk them. We would say everything bad about them. Not because she did anything to us, just because we felt replaced. Just because we feel in competition. We get real mean and we get real petty, and it is not a great habit. It's not a great thing to do. It's not great for our mental well-being, and it's not great for anybody. It's not, and in this situation, it's not great for the kids. And I think that that's such a big one. Tell everyone where they can come find you. I'm really, really hopeful that we have some stepmoms listening today that's like, I fucking needed this, and, or, you know, I'm dating somebody with kids, or I co-parent with a stepmom and I need to have some conversations with myself and with my family. Where can they sort of dive into what you're doing and what you're working on? Because it is so niche and tiny that it is almost impossible to find sometimes.
Yeah. So I'm just over my website, jamiescrimger.com, Jamie Scrimger on Instagram. You can spell it E-O-U-R, G-E-O-U-R. Fun fact, my maiden name was Darling. That's how much I love my husband. I changed my name to Scrimger.
Oh my God, your name was it Darling. Was,
yeah, yeah.
My,
I think about changing it back, but I also have a podcast, the Kick-Ass Stepmom podcast as well. And that's just all about finding ways to thrive against amongst the extra stress and just all the challenges. And look, I'm not here to sugarcoat being a stepmom. I never do. I'm very raw and real about how it feels, but I do think it's really important for us to be like, okay, what are the tips and strategies to move forward, improve relationships, set boundaries, like live a good life amongst it? Because talking crap about the other house all the time, and hey, I'm not immune to it, totally done it. That doesn't make you a better stepmom, and it doesn't make them a better mom. And you know, once you really kind of dive into what's going on for yourself, things get a lot easier.
And honestly, I remember one time someone was like, you can talk about all the things that went wrong and why, but let's just do solutions. Mm-hmm. Let's focus on solutions. We can come back to why it all happened in the first place. And I think if we thought more solutions-based, we would probably be having some bigger conversations about how we can all work together in a much bigger way. So thank you so much. Thank you for your vulnerability. Thank you for what you've championed online. I mean, I've been seeing you do this for the longest time, since I met you 5-6 years ago. And I really appreciate what you do. As a mom to a stepmom, super appreciate how much insight you can give from, you know, the other side that maybe I didn't even consider too. So really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
And for everyone listening, I'm going to have everything for you in the show notes as well. Check that out and we'll see you next week.
Well, friends, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to today's episode. For more information on this episode, check out the show notes or find us on Instagram at The Papaya Podcast. And if you loved what you just listened to or know somebody who would, please share it. Simply screenshot today's episode in the podcast app and share it to your Instagram stories. And don't forget to tag us. Last but not least, if you'd like to lend your personal support to the podcast, take a moment and leave a review on iTunes. We would be oh so grateful. Tune in next week for a fresh new episode of The Papaya Podcast, and we'll see you then.